And appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and return to Genesis chapter 18, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet that didn't get one? Are there any guys? Yeah, there's okay. Are there any guys here that didn't get one of our gifts from this morning? Any of our fathers? Any of our guys? Got a couple over here? Oh, we do have a couple. Okay. I got two things going one time here, don't I? All right, let's do the worksheet first. Do the worksheet. Let's do the worksheet first. I was thinking they probably got all the guys this morning, but maybe they didn't get back to you, those who were working elsewhere. A whole bunch of them over here, guys. All righty. Keep your hands up till they get to you. Anybody else? Miss one? One over there, John. One in here, in the middle here. There you go. All right. Now, were there any guys any of our guys 18 years or older didn't get the gift from this morning? Slip your hand up. All right, we've got two down here, one over there. Okay. One back there. One over there. Okay. All right. Not working. Okay, somehow. All right. Now, don't play with it during the service. Now, if you feel like it doesn't work, you got to read the instructions. All right. Well, you do, because you're going to take the top off of here, and there's a little insulation thing on top of the battery. So it's until you won't wear out the battery until you decide you're going to start using it. So then it does that, all right? And then you can pull it down and use like a little on there. Pretty cool. I like it. I thought it was pretty cool. It says Lighthouse Baptist Church, a home for you, a light to the world. All right, there you go. All righty. Genesis chapter 18. Everybody there? Genesis chapter 18. Let's read the chapter, and we'll get the story here. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him, or to Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, my supreme controller, my one who's in control, the one, the big man upstairs, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where's Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return. Now, look what they said unto him, where's thy wife? And then it says, he said, I will certainly return unto thee. So you've got two, and well, there's three of them there. You've got two and one. Two and one. And that's kind of where it is there. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And notice he said, I will certainly return to thee, he's talking to Abraham, according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah, God of the universe, said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? So the Lord is talking, it's like he's talking to the other two men there, angels. He says, shall I hide from Abram the thing which I shall do? See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. For he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the two angels went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's the Lord standing there with Abraham. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abram answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? He said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will not speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let's pray, and we'll talk about a conversation with God. A conversation with God. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you that even though you know that we, as Abraham said, we're just dust, you look upon us not as just dust, you pity us as a child. And you allow us to, as he did here, come boldly, knowing your grace and your mercy, come boldly to your throne of grace. Lord, we just sang a few moments ago, and you walk with us, and you talk with us, and you tell us that we're your own. And there's a joy that we can share as we spend our time there, different than anyone else has ever known. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to kind of see some things here this evening. Help us, if nothing else, to long for that sweet communion. To commune with you as friend with friend. Lord, I pray that you bless our time. Speak to us. Give us each of what we need here this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis chapters 18 and 19, I think, are given in contrast one to the other. We see God's relationship with those that seek to walk with God rather than walk with the world. One trusts in the Lord and one trusts in what the world can offer. Because when we get to chapter 19, we're going to have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not the one we had previous where Abraham goes in and saves Lot's neck. Which, by the way, that should have been enough to get Lot out of town. Should have known better. But he goes back. And so we're going to see what happens to those. Now see, Abraham walked with God. And he's going to have a talk with God. And then we got other folks who do their own thing. They live, by the way, do we not know the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, that doesn't mean God throws us away, but it doesn't mean he's happy with us either. One chose the world, which seemed to have everything a person could want. And one put his life in the hands of the Lord, who has promised great things, but weren't unable to see them at the present time. Some folks are not built on their faith, and they cannot see afar off, and they doubt the promises of God. Others see him who is invisible, and would rather walk with God than enjoy the sins of the world for a season. Now again, these two chapters are not a contrast between a saved person and an unsaved person. Lot believed God to a certain extent, or he would not have left with Abraham in the first place. In fact, 2 Peter calls him just Lot. That doesn't mean just Lot. That means he was justified. Lot, he was just. Now, he had a mess. God, I think that Lot's going to be in heaven. But boy, he had a hard life getting there. These passages are a contrast between two believers. One that is willing to trust God with his daily life, and one that is not. Lot lost everything, I think, but his salvation. Now, this evening, we're going to see God in the life of one that walks with God and trusts God with his life. And I want us to ask ourselves a few questions this evening and see how close we walk with God. Number one, do you recognize the Lord when you see him? Do you recognize the Lord when you see him? Let me read these with you. And the Lord appeared, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham was sitting by the door of the tent where most likely a breeze was kind of blowing past him. It was much more like a little breeze. You know, you've done that. You kind of get in a little spot there, get underneath with the shade, and so the currents of the wind, the cold to the heat, and the cold to the heat, kind of create a little breeze. And so he's sitting in the door of the tent, just enjoying the heat of the day, but trying to cool off. And Abraham recognized the Lord when he saw him. Look what it says in verse 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men. That's what it looked like. It looked like three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything real big because that was a kind of a normal gesture of the culture. However, he said and said, "My Lord." Notice the L is capitalized. It's capitalized in your Bible too. "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Now, he says there, there appears to exist, first of all, a willingness on his behalf to be gracious. There appears to exist a willingness on your behalf to stoop to be gracious. That's what he was doing, being gracious. He says, "Pass not away." He says, "Now don't go away. I pray thee from thy servant." Don't go away. Can you stay a while and have dinner and chat? Now, there are several commentators who want to suggest that Abraham didn't know who these men were. And they go through all the, you know, entertaining angels unaware. I don't think that's true. In fact, I read and I thought, well, why are they doing that? Because Abraham addresses one of them as "my Lord." And again, that word "Lord," their number one there, is an emphatic form of Adon, which means, there it is, sovereign. Your line there. Sovereign, master, ruler, controller. And it's only used of God, the supreme controller. So he knew who he was. Is that why would he worry about finding favor? I mean, they were trespassing on his land. I mean, they were coming by his door, as much as it was his land, but he was coming by his door there, and he sees these boys going by, and he runs to meet them, and he bows down, and he says, "Lord, sovereign." In other words, if I found favor in thy sight, Abraham was saying, since we are friends now, since I have found favor in thy sight. Why? We just heard about it last night. I mean, last Sunday night. The Lord's going to go ahead and give him that boy. The promise is coming. It's within the next year. And he says, I have found favor. I know you like me. You know, the Lord is for you. You realize that? Do you realize the Lord is for you? The problem is, are we for the Lord? But the Lord is for us. He says, since we're friends now, would you stay a while and let me care for you? That's what friends do. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord when you see him in normal life? No, when you see the Lord moving, can you recognize it? Are you familiar with the Lord enough to know him when he shows up in a way you haven't seen him before? I mean, he kind of shows up in disguise. Looks like one of the other two guys, just three guys. But he knew which one was the Lord. Do you walk with enough with the Lord to recognize him? Listen, I know this sounds funny, and this is not you know, Lord's not going to come to us in flesh like this. But the Lord comes to us in our life. Do you recognize it? I think we ought to walk enough with the Lord that when someone shows up and they have the Lord and they're living for the Lord, you ought to be able to almost sense it. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been folks that I have met for the very first time in my life, and all of a sudden you think, well, they know the Lord. And it's almost like you've known them all their life. I don't want to embarrass them, but I felt that about the Berglunds when I first met them. I just felt the flowers when you came in that first Sunday. You sat right back here, you know. I mean, I shouldn't start naming names. I get myself in trouble here, but I'll leave someone out. But the fact is, there's some people just walk in and you think, oh, that's my brother. I never met him before, but that's my brother. That's my sister. I didn't know I had one there, but I had one there. That's my sister. When the Lord's moving, do you sense it? Do you understand it? Or do you look at it as a bother? You know what else? Look, watch. Let's go right to number two and you'll see what I'm saying. Do you like it when the Lord shows up unannounced? Do you like it when the Lord shows up unannounced? I mean, sometimes, you know, the Lord shows up and you say, oh, my soul, I mean, it's hot. I'm trying to stay cool and here comes God. Well, I guess I'm going to have to take care of him. The Lord just barrels into my life all of a sudden. Now I'm going to have to serve him. You know, it doesn't seem like that when they're friends. Letter A, Abraham entertains the presence of God. He entertains the presence of God. You know, when God shows up, we ought to soak it in. Kind of revel in the whole thing. Look at verse 4. Let a little water, I pray, you be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread. He's got a morsel of bread. I'm sure what a morsel of bread is going to hear in a minute. I will fetch you a morsel of bread and comfort you your hearts. After that, you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. In other words, this is, again, the culture. Obviously, he's saying, obviously, you've stopped here to be refreshed before you go a little further. And this was a typical protocol of that day. When there was no inns or other rest stops, there wasn't a rest stop along the interstate. You know, there wasn't a Sheetz you could stop at. You know, there was no McDonald's, there was none of that. And so really it was not unusual, especially if you were out in the middle of nowhere. They know how hard life is out there. When someone shows up, you take care of them. And so he says, I know you came. And you're going to give me the opportunity. You were looking for a little refreshment here. And I said, listen, let me put some things together here and let you stay. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. So, you know, the first thing that a man does when he asks somebody to stay for dinner, he goes and says, his wife, it's time to cook dinner. So Abraham hastened. In other words, by the way, he's almost 100 years old now. But he got to moving. And he went in to see Sarah. And he said, make ready quickly, watch me, 3 measures of fine meal. Now, according to some measurements here, that's about 2.5 gallons worth. That's a morsel of bread. These are country boys that know how to eat. They work for a living. And he said, I want you to make some cakes on the hearth. In other words, I want you to do it upright. So get 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Don't just make a few pancakes here. I said, I want something nice. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young men. He hastened to dress it. Wonder what he was saving that calf for. You know, they're getting out the good china. They're pulling the silver out and dusting it off and washing it off. They haven't used since, you know, grandma died 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? He says, listen, this is, we want somebody here. We've got somebody special here. Now, when the Lord shows up in your life and you have an opportunity to serve him, how do you approach it? Oh, my soul. Well, I guess I got to be a good Christian. Everybody's going to be watching me. Nobody was watching Abraham. Just him and his wife. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. They just looked like 3 men going by. But he knew the Lord shown up. You know what else he didn't do? So what are you going to do for me today, Lord? You know, sometimes I think we spend a lot of time with our hand out. Why don't you give him a hand? Well, he doesn't need me. No, he doesn't. But he appreciates the thought. You say you love him. Well, oh yeah, I've had people say, they've been out of church for a long time. Oh, I know I've been out of church for about 1.5, 2 years, preacher, but I still pray. That's like me saying, we've been living up here for 15 years. My mom's still down about 1 hour away, but we go down every week and let her feed us. Now the fact is, Mom takes, she knows how to do a roast. Our kids love her roast. And this is the trick to having a good roast, so help me. You take it out while it's still frozen. You put it in the stove, you put it in the oven, and you put it, what you put about 250, 300 or something? Okay, 300, 325, and just lets it all afternoon. And it'll fall off the fork. Anyway, but she makes the meat, and the girls now all take all the stuff down, and we go down and have dinner once or twice a month with all the kids and everything. I think that's all she can handle. But anyway, you're all there in one little kitchen. My point being, we want to have a relationship with God, but our relationship a lot of times is, what can he do for me? Well, say, well, I can't do anything for him. What can I do for him? You can give him your heart. You can make an effort. You can serve him. So he says. So Abraham ran and he got it and he put it all together. And he took the butter and the milk and the calf, verse 8, which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. They really didn't have a dining room in those tents. And a tent was going to be hot. I've done a couple of funerals where it's actually hotter underneath the tent. And in fact, I've done a couple, and they're all sitting in a tent and they're going like this, and I'm just kind of right outside the edge of the tent doing the rest of the service there, the breeze is going by. But so they were out underneath the tree, and that wasn't unusual. Let me ask you a question. Are you glad to see the Lord coming into your life? Are you willing to let the Lord, watch, change your plans? Mess up your day? Do you drop everything to serve the Lord? You know, there's certain people who will show up at your door and you go, oh my son, I've got stuff to do today. But there are some people, if they showed up at the door, everything was on your calendar would just disappear. Now, there's no more important person to show up at your door than the Lord himself. They said, well, he's merciful. He's gracious. He'll be okay. That's not the point. When God steps in your life all of a sudden, unannounced, and you think, now I've got to entertain him, I've got to serve him, how do you feel? Or do you feel, I mean, listen, I don't agree with everything the man did, but what if Trump showed up at your door and said, can I have a glass of water? I mean, what if he did? Listen, I'll be honest with you. If Barack Obama had shown up at my door and asked for a glass of water, I would have stopped everything I was doing and given the guy a glass of water. Might even put a piece of lemon in it. You know, offered him a cookie. I don't know whether C or D, but here we go. Abraham looked forward to the opportunity, watch, to spend time with the Lord. He said, why don't you stay a while? Now listen, they're walking by and they were looking for a refreshment. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, just wait around. I'll get you a snack. A snack. 2.5 gallons worth of fine meal. We're going to make some cakes. And then he goes out to get the meat. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you think, my soul, did he have to go out to the butcher to get this thing? They went out the field to get him, and you know, it takes forever. Well, I mean, we're talking about, they still had to go out and kill it and dress it and cook it. To a certain extent, I think he's going to put it on the dog a little bit. I mean, not in a good way. I mean, but be honest with you, it was a good way to keep the Lord around for a while. I'll serve you, and I'll serve you big. Do you realize when you're serving the Lord, you're right there with him? And when you decide you don't want to serve him, you're not there with him. You wonder why you don't feel like, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. We miss that because we can't be bothered with him messing up our calendar. Well, I've got plans for my day. I've got plans for the next year. He said, no, I want you to stick around as long as you can. I want to spend some time with you. So we're going to go out and get you a snack. A whole feast. Sounds like my mother. You walk in the house. Can I get you something? You need to eat. What are we going to do? When my father had his accident, and of course mom was trying to take care of him and so forth, and she first got there by himself, my little son there, Sterl, was just graduating from college. And so he actually moved in with them to help her kind of tend to my dad those early months there. In fact, a year or so. How long were you down there? 6 months? Okay. But he would go to work, and then he'd come home, you know, but he was helping her get dad, you know, moving around and helping him, and actually doing a little bit of, you know, therapy on him, some other things. Just a good grandson, just took care of his granddad. And he'd come home from work or someplace, and she'd say, you need a snack? I'll get you a snack. Sit down, I'll make you a steak. 10 o'clock at night, sit down, I'll make you a steak. Because she just wants to serve. And she loves her grandson. She loves her grandson. That's what she uses, a servant. That's her love language, if you will, serving. That's just who she is. Now, how much you love the Lord? Or you just kind of get frustrated because he messed up your day. Watch this. Abraham goes out of his way to keep the Lord around. He said, well, if I keep him around, I'm probably going to have a bunch of other stuff to do. I'm going to be serving this guy. I mean, is it bad enough that he came by, but I could have given him some, you know, give him a Coke and a sandwich and a, you know, I was going to say a ham sandwich, but they probably weren't supposed to do that. Coke and a sandwich and get on their way. I mean, I was nice. He saw me. I did a good job. I should get my brownie points. Let him move on. He says, no, 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 no. I've got an opportunity to serve the Lord, and I'm going to hang on to this opportunity as long as I can. And when I serve him, I want to serve him big time. Underneath that, Abraham is humble before the Lord. He said, I know. He bowed himself down. He said, I found favor in your sight. He said, would you please stay? Abraham wants these men, especially the Lord, to feel at home at his place.
That's my next question.
Does the Lord feel at home with you? Or does he feel like a stranger, a visitor? I can't help but think about this. When the Lord's in it, you feel at home if you like to be around the Lord. And when I came up here to candidate the first time we came up and I preached, and it just seemed different. I've been in another place I candidated. I said, well, this might be it. And so they asked me to come back the next Saturday. No, it was the second time. Okay, we came up and preached a second time. And then they asked me to come back the following Saturday, bring the family, because you were having your Labor Day picnic. By the way, we're having a picnic again this year, so it's on the calendar. Be ready for that. It's like it's not Labor Day, but the weekend, but the weekend right before that. And we'll all go out here and have a good time Saturday afternoon. But they were having their Labor Day picnic. Miss Ogle was there, and Nettie Oberlander was there. And I'm not sure who else was there. Well, of course, Wilma and the girls were here. I don't think it was. No, yeah, that's right. The Stell Foxes were here. Yeah. Anyway, it was just a few of us. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, I just want to know where you want me to be. And I'm keeping my eyes and my ears open, my heart open. You just make sure that I want you to talk to my heart. I want you to talk to my wife's heart. I want you to talk to my kid's heart. I want you to talk to my folks' heart. And I just want to know that we are where we need to be. And so they asked to come back up. We came to that picnic. And, of course, you know, we came from a place that was running 1,800, 2,000 people. And, you know, all these kids and all their Sunday school classes and all these things that had going on. The youth group had 120 in it, you know. And we were heading home after the picnic. And we had, a few folks. And I guess, Alicia and your girls were about as close as to Nathan. He was 9. Alicia was, I guess, what, 3, 4? Yeah. And then Jenny was probably 13, 14. So it was nobody really here Nathan's age. And we got in the car, and we were heading home. And all of a sudden, out of the seat right behind me, Nathan says, you know, Dad, it's funny. He says, you know, when we went over there in New Jersey and you preached at that church, I felt like a visitor. But up here, I just feel like we're at our church. Esther was a little socialite at the little church we had, at that church where we came from. The next morning, we went to church, and I thought, our kids will never want to be here. Oh, my soul, there's nothing, even comparison. We were starting out with, 25, 30 people total, counting us. And we went back down there, and the next Sunday morning, the very next day, and I thought, oh, my. And then we went home for lunch, and we were sitting down having lunch, and Esther plays piano here. She was 13. Again, out of the clear blue sky, she just says, you know, Daddy, you need to go up there and be their preacher. I think if we sense the Lord, we're comfortable with Him. And we feel at home with Him. We want to keep Him around. We're still humble. We know who He is. But honored that He stopped by our place so to allow us to serve Him. Number 3. Are you willing to accept the promises of God as true? Talking about a conversation with the Lord. Are you willing to accept the promises of God as true? You know, to not do that is almost to call him a liar. Verse 9. And they said unto him, the men said to Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, well, look over here in the tent, behold. And he said, I think that was the Lord, I will certainly return unto thee, unto Abraham, according to the time of life. See, Abraham had an issue as well as Sarah. We all talk about Sarah's too old. Apparently, Abraham had an issue too. And says, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, after I'm worn out, I'm this old lady, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being also old? But he's not. Things aren't working all that the way they're supposed to. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, said unto Abram, do you know when the Lord's speaking to you? Have you ever been reading your Bible and all of a sudden a word pops out at you? A verse that you have read so many times you can't count anymore. And all of a sudden, it's almost in our heart, it's like this little neon sign goes off. And it might be a simple word like for. Because of what's happened, for this. Now, some of us probably haven't had that because you haven't read your Bible. Haven't been willing to entertain him. Didn't try to figure out a way to spend a little more time with him. We just needed to get the job done, give him his Coke and his ham sandwich, and I'm done. I can check it off in the book and move on. Instead of saying, Lord, why don't we go sit out under the tree and chat a while. After I'm waxed old, the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child? Which am I? In other words, can this really happen? And the Lord said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, Abraham, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. She was afraid. And he said, oh, no, you laughed. You laughed. Yes, you did. Don't lie to me. You laughed. Number one underneath that, the Lord is patient with our doubts. Aren't you glad for that? Have a conversation with a friend are you sure? I'm sure. Take my word for it. It's going to happen. And you know, they were talking about some personal things. Guys don't like to really talk about, I'm trying to be wrong, but don't like to talk when they're talking about their plumbing not working anymore. Not trying to be indiscreet, but that's what we're talking about. And you know, she's got her issues there. And she, I don't want to talk about that. Can you take, let her be, do you allow God to get into your personal life? Do you allow God to get into your personal life? Well, he doesn't be bothered with that kind of thing. Yeah, he does. If he's got the hair in your head numbered, this is a bigger deal than a couple of hairs. He knows our heart. He's touched with our infirmities. He's touched with our heartache. We do not have a high priest that doesn't understand what we are. Now you say, well, he wasn't around yet. But Jesus is eternal. He knows all that. He knew what they were. He knew the heartache. And listen, how many times did Sarah go to sleep at night and lay her head on that, whatever it was that she laid her head there where they're wandering around the middle of nowhere, put her on that little mat and say, Lord, is this really going to do anything or not? I wanted to have a baby. This one. And you told me to come out here. It's going to happen. And it's been 25 years. She started out when she was 65. You have a 25-year-old woman who's only been able to bear children for the last 10 years is upset because she can't have a baby. Start out 65 and not having any kind of idea that you're ever going to be able to have a baby, and now you're 90 years old, and now he says it's going to happen. The fact is, he just told her last chapter that she was going to do it, and she says it now, and she's still kind of laughing. I mean, it'd be really great, but oh my soul, can you imagine? He says, Sarah, I know you laughed. It's going to happen. I don't think he was reprimanding her as much as assuring her. You laughed, didn't you? Yeah, you did. You laughed. It was going to happen. There have been several things in my life that as a young man over the years, it's almost like the Lord said, I've said, boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if the Lord would allow me to do so and so and so and so. And we'd laugh. I think we really give ourselves to the Lord, you'd be surprised what he'll do. I think there's some things that God has put in your heart and we laugh and never move in that direction and it never happens. You say, well, it never happened. See, it never happened. Well, maybe you should have spent more time entertaining the Lord. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. It's all of him. I remember I was 27. No, probably about 25. Even 23. I guess about 23 we joined Open Door down there. And I grew up in this little Methodist church, about 70 people. And when I started directing the choir, we had 8. And we ended up with 21, 22 people. That's all the choir loft could hold. In fact, the choir loft could only hold 21, so we had to pray somebody was sick each week. But anyway, we had that little choir. And when we started going to a church that was preaching the gospel, went over Open Door, and a couple times, I just loved directing choir. And I said, well, wouldn't it be neat to direct the choir at Open Door? But they already had 2 choir directors. 2 choirs and 2 choir directors. And I said, wouldn't it be neat? And we laughed. Yeah, well, it's never happened. I was in 1983. By 1987, I was director. 1987, we went down to the National Sword Conference. Bob Jones University. 7,000 people were in there in that building that night. And we went out down there for the week and we got in the car and we headed back up north and talking. I was just so excited. I just drinking everything I could get in. And I said, can you imagine what it must be like to lead the singing at the National Sword Conference? Well, wouldn't that be a wonder? Wouldn't that be something? We laughed. I've been doing it now for 23 years. Now, I'm not patting myself up. It's all of God. I'm bragging on him. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. I remember thinking when I was a 15-year-old boy, I think I'm called to preach. But that's about all I could get out when I got ready to get up in front of everybody. And when the time was right, everything put together, it was time. We're not huge, but we're a pretty good church. I think we got a good solid church here. Lord's got blessed. But it's not because of Sterling Walsh, it's because I got a friend. Do you allow God to get into your personal life? Underneath that, are you experiencing the promise of God coming to fruition in your life? Are you experiencing the promises of God? You should. You let him get in the middle of your life. Number 4, are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of God? I'm running long here. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on their way. So in other words, the guys started heading and started looking down to Sodom. Apparently, it's so flat out there that really where Abraham was, you could kind of see down there. mean, you can see miles and miles away. I don't know if you've ever seen Pilot Mountain down in North Carolina. You can start seeing that. Now, it's on Andy Griffith, they call it Mount Pilot. But it's Pilot Mountain, and you can see that thing for miles and miles and miles and miles away. We drove out and out north, and there's a mountain, Flagstaff, Arizona. There's a mountain in that general area. And you're out west, you see that thing for a couple days. There it is, you know. And so that's the way it was. You kind of see down across there, and they could see Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the two men went over there, and they looked towards Sodom, it says in verse 16, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. In other words, what you guys looking at? And the Lord said, I think to the other two guys, well, what do you think? Shall I hide this from Abraham? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing? What thing? Well, you know that thing. Should I tell him? Can you see the conversation? Lord's talking to these two guys. Well, what do you think? Should I tell Abraham? Tell me. What do you think I should tell him that thing? What thing? You know the thing. That thing which I'll do. Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. In other words, Abraham will be faithful to pass on what we are going to do and why we must do it. And he will use it to teach the world from here on out. And the world does know this, folks. He said, we're about ready to tell them what we're doing and why we're doing it. I mean, God could have destroyed them. There's a lot of nations that God destroyed we don't know anything about. But he said, I want this to go down, and I think he's going to tell them. Look at verse 19. For I know him. Now, he knows all of us, but it's in a good way. For I know him, that he will command his children. He's going to teach them these lessons. He was going to take charge of his children, not let them get away with sinfulness. So he's going to teach his children and his household after him. In other words, he's going to run the rest of his household the same way. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. They will guard their lives so that they will live the way the Lord wants them to live. They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, to do right and morally virtuous and judgment. And that is to see and call judgment as the Lord sees it. I think Abraham can handle it. And the judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham, that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham wants to please the Lord and not anything, he doesn't want anything to mess up God's plan. He says, the Lord's right there with me. Let her be. Does God trust you with information beyond your own business? Does God trust you with information beyond your own business? Letter C, do you live like a friend of God would live? Do you live like a friend of God would live? Number one, he said that Abraham's going to do justice. That means to do, here it is, right in relation to others. To be fair. To do justice. To make it right. Judgment. Do you have the same opinions as the Lord? You know, when you run around, you got a friend, you all start thinking about the same. You know what I mean? You all start with the same interest. You get excited about the same thing, truth. John 15, 14, Jesus says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend. God let him in on some things. Get into the conversation. It wasn't just about regular old stuff. God says, I'm going to do something. See, God, listen, God is going to hold up to his end of the promise and bless those that bless Abraham and curse those that curse Abraham. But wait a minute. Abraham knows that there's much more to life than that. And he wants all that the Lord will give him, and he wants a relationship with his Lord. Number five, can you come boldly to the throne of grace? First of all, are you a friend of God? God says, here's some things. And so here he presents this to Abraham. And then we said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Look at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, their sin was so bad that it was, so to speak, crying out for God to do something about it. Their sin is very grievous, and I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. So God is going to go to the place of the sin and allow the people to see for themselves just how brazen and defiant they are about their sin, even when faced with the presence of holy men of God. You know the story, you know what I'm talking about. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near. That word drew means he got real close. Stand up, Nathan. You're the Lord. Cool. And looking over here to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord says to his buddies, he says, do you think we ought to let Abraham in on that? I think we should. He's a good man. He's going to do right by this. He's going to learn something. He's going to pass it down. And Abraham says, he draw near to the Lord. Kind of said, you're going to destroy all of them? I mean, you're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, you are the, you know, judge of all the earth. You wouldn't do that, would you? That's not who you are. Let me ask you, I mean, what if there's 50 people there? 50 righteous people. Would you destroy them if we're 50 people? Would you?
No.
But what if we're short five? Would you destroy them for the lack of five of the 50? What about 30? I mean 40, I'm sorry, 40. I mean, he's making a deal here with God. You say, well, can you be that bold? You can with a friend. That's not the first time. I don't think that's the first time they had a conversation. How about 30? I know I'm kind of pushing it here with you, but are you going to destroy it for 30?
No.
Don't get mad at me now. How about 20? What if we can only come up with 10? 10 righteous. If you had 10 righteous, would you destroy for 10 righteous? Or would you, I mean, you wouldn't destroy if there was 10 righteous people there, would you? And the Lord went. And Abram went to his tent. So Abraham appeals to the Lord for mercy. And I think Abraham knew that 50 was too many. Now, Lot most likely has not led people to follow Jehovah much as the people of the city have led Lot to follow sin. Letter C. Lot might have at least led his own family to follow Jehovah, but we don't see that. There were possibly 8 people in his family. But it appears that Lot may have been only the one that was righteous. And his testimony was ruined by the sinful compromise that his sons-in-law didn't even believe him. We'll see that a little later. And you go into chapter 19, he has 2 daughters that have not known men. And Lot has at least 2 sons-in-law, which means he probably has 2 daughters to go with them. So you got Lot and his wife, 2 daughters at home, 2 daughters married, and the sons-in-law, 8. you would think you'll at least be able to come up with two more. But then there was Abraham. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one for another that you may be healed. What's it? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me give you number six. I know we're late. I should have just done the second half next week. But once you have said your piece to God, are you willing to accept God's judgment and actions? He said his piece. When you brought him down, now he's still going to destroy, but he's going to spare. Lot is going to be saved, yet so as by fire. Abraham did not know what the outcome was going to be. He was hoping there was enough righteous there that was going to do it, but he didn't know. Abraham did not argue with God to circumvent justice or excuse sin. Abraham did appeal to God's character of being merciful. Abraham did not try to stop the Lord from his intended mission. We get in the way of God all the time. Abram trusted God that he was not being unfair or unreasonable. Number seven, Abraham's previous testimony gave him an open door to the presence of God when it was needed. And look at the last verse. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities. You got on your paper there, Genesis 19:29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Now, Abraham's hospitality was not an attempt to sway God's decision. He didn't even know about that yet. Abraham already held God in highest esteem, but since the relationship was already healthy, Abram felt he could come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now watch me. I'm all done. Some of us don't know how to have a conversation with God until there's an emergency, and then it's too late. God, the friendship with Abraham was already made, it's already built. And when the time came, he says, came boldly, but he came to a friend. Do you know the Lord when you see him? Do you like being around him? Are you close enough to keep to the Lord that you can have a frank conversation with him? Are you willing to accept his judgment, whatever that may be? Do you trust him to do right? There's no better friend than the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, our folks have been very patient. But Lord, I wanted to get the whole picture in here tonight. Bless it. Help us to be friends with the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.